Chapter 108. Illustrative of the convivial sentiment that the best of friends must sometimes part, the pavement of Snow Hill had been baking and frying all day in the heat, and the twain Saracen's heads guarding the entrance to the hostelry, of whose name and sign they are the duplicate presentments, looked or seemed, in the eyes of jaded and footsore passers-by, to look more vicious than usual, after blistering and scorching in the sun, when, in one of the smallest sitting rooms, through whose open window there rose, in a palpable steam, wholesome exhalations from reeking coach horses, the usual furniture of a tea table was displayed in neat and inviting order, flanked by large joints of roast and boiled, a tongue, a pigeon pie, a cold fowl, a tankard of ale, and other little matters of the like kind, which, in degenerate towns and cities, are generally understood to belong more particularly to solid lunches, stagecoach dinners, or unusually substantial breakfasts. Mr. John Browdie, with his hands in his pockets, hovered restlessly about these delicacies, stopping occasionally to whisk the flies out of the sugar basin with his wife's pocket handkerchief, or to dip a teaspoon in the milk pot and carry it to his mouth, or to cut off a little knob of crust and a little corner of meat and swallow them at two gulps like a couple of pills. After every one of these flirtations with the eatables, he pulled out his watch and declared with an earnestness quite pathetic that he couldn't undertake to hold out 2 minutes longer. Tilly. ' said John to his lady, who was reclining half awake and half asleep upon a sofa. Well, John. Well, John. Retorted her husband, impatiently. Dost thou feel hungry, lass? Not very, said Mrs. Browdie. Not very. Repeated John, raising his eyes to the ceiling. Hear her say not very, and us dining at 3, and lunching off past 3 thought aggravates a man instead of pacifying him. Not very. Here's a gentleman for you, sir, said the waiter, looking in. A what for me? Cried John, as though he thought it must be a letter, or a parcel. A gentleman, sir. Stars and garters, chap. Said John, what dost thou come and say that for? And why un? Are you at home, sir? At home. Cried John, I wish I were. I'd hot tea at 2 hour ago. Why, I told t'other chap to look sharp outside door, and tell un directly he come, thought we were faint why humor. And why un? Aha! Beyond, Mr. Nickleby. This is nigh to be the crudest day o' my life, sir. Who be all why ye? Ding! But, I'm glad o' this. Quite forgetting even his hunger in the heartiness of his salutation, John Browdie shook Nicholas by the hand again and again, slapping his palm with great violence between each shake, to add warmth to the reception. Ah! There she be, said John, observing the look which Nicholas directed towards his wife. There she be, we shan't quarrel about her new, eh? Ecod, when I think o' thought, but thou wantst summat to eat. Fall to, mun, fall to, and for what we're about to receive no doubt the grace was properly finished, but nothing more was heard, for John had already begun to play such a knife and fork, that his speech was, for the time, gone. I shall take the usual license, Mr. Browdie, said Nicholas, as he placed a chair for the bride. Tack whatever thou lickest, said John, and when a's gain, circa for more. Without stopping to explain, Nicholas kissed the blushing Mrs. Browdie, and handed her to her seat. I say, said John, rather astounded for the moment, Mac thyself quite at home, will ye? You may depend upon that, replied Nicholas, on one condition. And what may that be? Asked John. that you make me a godfather the very first time you have occasion for one. Apostrophe A. Do you hear that? Apostrophe cried John, laying down his knife and fork. A godfather. Ha! 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 Tilly here till an a godfather. Divn't say a word more, ye'll never beat that. Occasion for an a godfather. Ha! 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 Apostrophe, never was man so tickled with a respectable old joke as John Browdy was with this. He chuckled, roared, half suffocated himself by laughing large pieces of beef into his windpipe, roared again, persisted in eating at the same time, got red in the face and black in the forehead, coughed, cried, got better, went off again laughing inwardly, got worse, choked, had his back thumped, stamped about, frightened his wife, and at last recovered in a state of the last exhaustion, and with the water streaming from his eyes, but still faintly ejaculating, a godfather, Tilly. Apostrophe apostrophe in a tone bespeaking an exquisite relish of the sally, which no suffering could diminish. You remember the night of our first tea drinking? Apostrophe apostrophe said Nicholas. Shall I ever forget it, mon? Apostrophe apostrophe replied John Browdy. He was a desperate fellow that night though, was he not, Mrs. Browdy? Apostrophe apostrophe said Nicholas. Quite a monster. Apostrophe, if you had only heard him as we were going home, Mr. Nickleby, you'd have said so indeed, apostrophe returned the bride. I never was so frightened in all my life. Apostrophe, coom, coom, apostrophe said John, with a broad grin, thou knowst better than thought, Tilly. Apostrophe, so I was, apostrophe replied Mrs. Browdy. I almost made up my mind never to speak to you again. Apostrophe, amist. Apostrophe, apostrophe said John, with a broader grin than the last. Amist made up her mind. And she were coaxin', and coaxin', and wheedlin' a the blessed wa. What didst thou let yon chap mak oop TV for? Says one. I deed, John, says she, a squeegin' my arm. You deed? Says one. No, says she, a squeegin' of me a jean. Apostrophe, lore, John. Apostrophe, apostrophe interposed his pretty wife, coloring very much. How can you talk such nonsense? As if I should have dreamt of such a thing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I didn't know whether thou had ever dreamt of it, though I think that's like any of mind, apostrophe retorted John, but thou didst it. Ye're a feeble, changeable weathercock, lass, says one. Not feeble, John, says she. Yes, says I, feeble, dommit feeble. Dinna tell me thou bean't efter yon chap at schoolmeisters, says one. Him, says she, quite screeching. Ah, him, says one. Why, John, says she and she coom a deal closer, and squeeched a deal harder than she deen afore. Dost thou think it's natural new, that having such a proper mun as thou to keep company, why, I'd ever tack up why such a little scanty whippersnapper as yon? She says. Ha, 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 she said whippersnapper. Ecod. I says, efter thought, name the day, and let's have it o'er. Ha, ha, ha. Apostrophe, Nicholas laughed very heartily at this story, both on account of its telling against himself, and his being desirous to spare the blushes of Mrs. Browdy, whose protestations were drowned in peals of laughter from her husband. His good nature soon put her at her ease, and although she still denied the charge, she laughed so heartily at it, that Nicholas had the satisfaction of feeling assured that in all essential respects it was strictly true. This is the second time, apostrophe said Nicholas, that we have ever taken a meal together, and only third I have ever seen you, and yet it really seems to me, as if I were among old friends. Apostrophe, wheel. Apostrophe, apostrophe observed the Yorkshireman, so I say. Apostrophe, and I am sure I do, apostrophe added his young wife. I have the best reason to be impressed with the feeling, mind, apostrophe said Nicholas, For if it had not been for your kindness of heart, my good friend, when I had no right or reason to expect it, I know not what might have become of me, or what plight I should have been in by this time. Apostrophe, talk about summat else, apostrophe, replied John, gruffly, and didn't bother. Apostrophe, it must be a new song to the same tune then, apostrophe, said Nicholas, smiling. I told you in my letter that I deeply felt and admired your sympathy with that poor lad, whom you released at the risk of involving yourself in trouble and difficulty. But I can never tell you how grateful he and I, and others whom you don't know, are to you for taking pity on him. Apostrophe, ecod. Apostrophe, apostrophe, rejoined John Browdie, drawing up his chair, and I can never tell you who grateful some folks that we do know would be likewise, if they knowed I had taken pity on them. Apostrophe, ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mrs. Browdie, what a state I was in that night! Apostrophe, were they at all disposed to give you credit for assisting in the escape? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Nicholas of John Browdie. Not a bit, apostrophe, replied the Yorkshireman, extending his mouth from ear to ear. There I lay, snoog in schoolmeester's bed long after it was dark, and nobody come nigh the police. Weel, thinks I, he's got a pretty good start, and if he bean't woe by noo, he never will be. So you may come as quick as you like, and find us ready, that is, you know, schoolmeester might come. Apostrophe, I understand, apostrophe, said Nicholas. Presently, apostrophe, resumed John, he did come. I hear door shut downstairs, and him a working, oop in the dark. Slow and steady, apostrophe, I says to myself, tack your time, sir, no hurry. He comes to the door, turns the key, when there weren't nothing to hold the lock and circa esut hallo, there. Yes, thinks I, you may do thought a gene, and not whacking anybody, sir. Hallo, there, he says, and then he stops. Thou'd better not aggravate me, says schoolmeester, after a little time. I'll break every bone in your body, smite, he says, after another little time. Then all of a sudden, he sings out for a loit, and when it comes ecod, such a hurly-burly. What's the matter? Says one. He's gane, says he, stark mad, why vengeance? Have you heard naught? Ease, says I heard street door shut, no time a day ago. I heard a person run down there, pointing t'other way. Help! He cries. I'll help you, says I, and off we set the wrong way. Ho! 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 Apostrophe, apostrophe, did you go far? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Nicholas. Far! Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied John. I run him clean off his legs in quarter of an hour. To see old schoolmeester without his hat, skimming along up to his knees in mud and water, tumbling over fences, and rowling into ditches, and bawling out like mad, why is one eye looking sharp out for the lad, and his coattails flying out behind, and him spattered why mud all over, face and all. I thought I should ha dropped down, and killed myself while laughing. Apostrophe, John laughed so heartily at the mere recollection, that he communicated the contagion to both his hearers, and all three burst into peals of laughter, which were renewed again and again, until they could laugh no longer. He's a bad un, apostrophe, said John, wiping his eyes. A very bad un, a schoolmeester. Apostrophe, I can't bear the sight of him, John, apostrophe, said his wife. Coom, apostrophe, retorted John, thought's tidy in you, thought is. If it wan't along o' you, we shouldn't know not about un. Thou knowed un first, Tilly, didn't thou? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I couldn't help knowing Fanny Squeers, John, apostrophe, returned his wife. She was an old playmate of mine, you know. Apostrophe, weel, apostrophe, replied John, didn't I say so, lass? It's best to be neighborly, and keep up old acquaintance loik, and what I say is, didn't quarrel if he can help it. Didn't think so, Mr. Nickleby? Apostrophe, certainly, apostrophe, returned Nicholas, and elected upon that principle, when I meet you on horseback on the road, after our memorable evening. Apostrophe, sure lie, apostrophe said John. What I say, I stick by. Apostrophe, and that's a fine thing to do, and manly too, apostrophe said Nicholas, though it's not exactly what we understand by coming Yorkshire over us in London. Miss Squeers is stopping with you, you said in your note. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe replied John, Tilly's bridesmaid. And a queer bridesmaid she be too. She won't be a bride in a hurry, I reckon. Apostrophe, for shame, John, apostrophe said Mrs. Browdy, with an acute perception of the joke though, being a bride herself. The groom will be a blessed man, apostrophe said John, his eyes twinkling at the idea. He'll be in luck, he will. Apostrophe, you see, Mr. Nickleby, apostrophe said his wife, that it was in consequence of her being here, that John wrote to you and fixed tonight, because we thought that it wouldn't be pleasant for you to meet, after what has passed. Apostrophe, unquestionably. You were quite right in that, apostrophe said Nicholas, interrupting. Especially, apostrophe observed Mrs. Browdy, looking very sly, after what we know about past and gone love matters. Apostrophe, we know, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Nicholas, shaking his head. You behaved rather wickedly there, I suspect. Apostrophe, oh course she did, apostrophe said John Browdy, passing his huge forefinger through one of his wife's pretty ringlets, and looking very proud of her. She were always as skittish and full o' tricks as a apostrophe, well, as a what? Apostrophe, apostrophe said his wife. As a woman, apostrophe returned John. Ding. But I didn't know, aught else that Coombs near it. Apostrophe, you were speaking about Miss Squeers, apostrophe said Nicholas, with the view of stopping some slight connubialities which had begun to pass between Mr. and Mrs. Browdy, and which rendered the position of a third party in some degree embarrassing, as occasioning him to feel rather in the way than otherwise. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.